scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. Your bulletin said Alan Hires would be your speaker, and obviously Alan Hires isn't here. That didn't come to my attention until a couple of minutes ago when I was looking for the scripture reading. I volunteered to take the pulpit for the sermon, and a wiser head than mine said, "That ain't happening." Just as wisdom is based on knowledge, so too is life based on growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11.
The mistake of listing Brother Hires this morning instead of me was my mistake. It was not Laura's. I simply copied the wrong date in my little calendar book from the schedule, and I knew I was going to keep on till I made a mistake. If I just had made one this week, it would be fine. I had one of the best meetings this last week that I've had in a long time. I want to share with you a note or two about it. I was at Springfield, Tennessee. The congregation there is doing an outstanding work. We had 3 baptisms and 12 restorations, outstanding attendance, many people visiting from the community, sort of an old-timey type gospel meeting. It was very encouraging to me, and many of you had asked about the meeting when I got back, and I appreciate your interest, and I think it was one of the best meetings that I've had in a long time. I also want to encourage you to make plans to stay after services tonight. Our Lads to Leaders group are going to present a program tonight after services to sort of share with us some of the things that they'll be doing next weekend in Nashville. And I think most of us do not really understand how much time and effort has gone into this by our young people and by many of the adults who are helping them. And I hope that you will stay tonight. I will plan to make the sermon this evening fairly short, and we'll get out before we normally do, and that'll give you extra time. I think that that program is important, and I want to encourage as many of you as can to stay for it. I appreciate the fact that the elders told me on Saturday before making the announcement last week so that I was aware of the announcement that was made even though I was away. I appreciated their being gracious to me and telling me about that. And I just want to say to you that all the association that I've had with Brother Daniel Hope has been very positive. I saw him play basketball for several years. Heard him speak here on Wednesday night several times, and then more recently. I believe he is a sound man in the faith, and I believe that he will contribute to the Lord's work in this area. And I just wanted you to know that some of you had asked if I knew that the elders did let me know on Saturday before I left town, and I appreciated that and was glad that they did so that I could know of the announcement as you did. Because of that announcement, and because I had an opportunity this past week to probably do a little more thinking than I usually do, being away and in a motel most of the time, I put together some thoughts that I want to share with you this morning that I believe are extremely important. And these thoughts come from the bottom of my heart. It is important that we be able to put things in proper focus as far as the Lord's work is concerned. One of the most important and most enjoyable parts of my life, my work in the church, has been with you. We're now in the 18th year together. Moved here a little over 17 years ago. You've done so many good things for me, and I hope you know how much Judy and I appreciate that. But we need to be able to put God's word work in proper focus at all times. Because of that, I want to share with you this morning some scriptures that I believe are extremely important at this time as we finish my work in the pulpit, make the transition, and a new work begins. And I want to start with Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. I've quoted that verse many be the time down through the years. You've heard it quoted many times. And we've quoted it to teach several different lessons. But I want to use it this morning to emphasize that the kingdom of Christ is more important than all the things that exist in this world. Which means that the kingdom of God is more important than either one of us or any combination of us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It is easy for us to get bogged down in the daily affairs of life, where we think in terms of food and raiment and shelter, mentioned just before this, and perhaps sometimes selfishly think of these things and make our plans for what we will do in life. Sometimes, I'm afraid, we think about all those things and then let the kingdom of God sort of come in on the side or at the bottom of the list. That cannot be so if we're going to please God. God's kingdom has to be at the top of the list for all of us. He goes ahead in the next verse and tells us not to worry about tomorrow. That's not easy sometimes, and I do think that we need to be concerned. I don't think he's pointing out that we should not think at all about life, but he's saying that we ought not to be anxious for the morrow, because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our trust in God sometimes is not as strong as it ought to be. We preach and we teach, and I think we believe that God knows what is best and that God will work out things in the best way, and yet sometimes we're not willing to accept that at every point in life. It is extremely important that we realize that the kingdom of God is bigger than any one of us, and that it ought to be our main desire, or at least the growth of it ought to be our main desire in everything that we do. A second scripture that I would share with you is in one of my favorite passages of the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. One of the reasons that chapter is my favorite is that I believe verse 15 is the golden rule for preachers, speaking the truth in love. But it's the next verse that I call to our attention this morning, Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body, and he's just mentioned Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The latter part of that verse talks about the two kinds of growth that we want in the church. It talks about quantity growth. It is increasing. But it also talks about quality growth, continuing to be established in the faith and in the love of God. But the one point that I want you to see today is that the whole body is mentioned in the first part of that verse, and then every joint is mentioned a little bit later on. It is easy for each of us in life to sort of set himself at the center of life and then let everything else revolve around. Even in the work of the church sometimes, I think that's what we want to do, although it may be subconscious. We want to do what's best for me, what's best for you, what's best for each one, and let everything else revolve around that. That's not the idea that's in this verse. The idea is that Christ is the center of it all, mentioned there in the latter part of verse 15, and the whole body is to revolve around Jesus Christ. Every joint is important. Every joint is to supply. And every joint, and of course the joint would be referring to every member of the body of Christ, every joint is to supply according to its own ability, what it can do. And he says when that happens, when everybody supplies in the way that each one can, and all work together, then that's the whole body working, and there will be the quantity and quality growth that is desired. I believe that's what we must emphasize in our work. I believe that's what we've tried to emphasize in our work in the past. And it's what needs to be emphasized today, and it's what needs to be emphasized in the future. Whether or not you and I understand everything that is done, or whether we would agree with everything that is done, it is extremely important for us to be concerned about what is best for the whole body. Sometimes I have stated it like this in the past, what is the best for the most? And I really believe that that is what God wants, that he wants the whole body, notice, fitted together, compacted. That's talking about unity. That's talking about oneness. And if we are ever going to teach this community or teach the world the oneness and the unity of the body of Jesus Christ, it must be seen by the examples that you and I show to this community and to the world. It is the whole body that is important, more than any one joint that supplies. I hope we never get to the point that we overlook any joint, that we overlook any member, and the importance of each member. There's a rather lengthy discussion in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians to show that even those members who do not seem to be very important may be some of the most important members in the body of Christ. But in that passage, as well especially as here in Ephesians 4:16, the whole body is more important than any one member and must be understood and must be considered from that standpoint. I just mentioned 1 Corinthians 12. It would be good if all of us would read that entire chapter in the next few days, because it has a lot to say about the body, about the different members, and how the members are to supply, and how the members are to care, and how the members are to share. But there's one verse particularly today that I want to emphasize in the line of thinking that is before us this morning, and it's a rather short verse in the 20th verse of 1 Corinthians 12. But now are they many members, yet but one body. There are many members. In the church here, I believe we have between 650 and 675 members. There are many members in this church. But there's just one body, even in the local sense. And more so than that, as we think about the church worldwide, there is just the one body of Jesus Christ. So as we have many members, we need to continue to remember that there is just one body. And the church is bigger than either one of us. Again, in this chapter, I think he's dealing with the idea that there's a tendency sometimes for us to want the church to revolve around us as one member. But that cannot happen. It has to be that the church is first, Christ and his cause is first, and then each one is a part of and a member of that one body. We've done a pretty good job down through the years of teaching against denominationalism in most of the areas, at least where I have lived. We've done a pretty good job teaching the oneness of the church from that standpoint. But if you look at what's happening in the brotherhood today, we may not be doing such a good job in teaching oneness from the standpoint of the unity within the church that we ought to be teaching to the community. It's just as important for us to have unity within the church as it is to have unity among the churches. And it's just as important for us to have a non-denominational idea or undenominational idea within the body of Christ as it is within the religious world. And so I suggest to you that I believe it is extremely important that we remember that there is the one body, though there are many members. And then I would share with you John 12, verses 42 and 43. Jesus said in verse 42 in John 12, that the word that he has spoken is going to judge us. He puts it like this, that nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Really, down in verse 48, talks about how his word will judge us. But notice after he says that the Pharisees would not confess him, that verse 43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, it's not easy for us to get this verse in proper focus. We all love to be praised by others. I don't think there's really any one of us who enjoys being criticized by other people. I frankly admit to you, I'd rather be praised than criticized. I'd rather be appreciated than overlooked. And I think you feel the same way. But we need to be sure that we recognize that our work is to please God. I hope we can please men at the same time. As I said earlier, my association with you for these 17 years has been one of the most pleasing relationships that I've ever had anywhere. You have encouraged me, you have helped me, and you continue to encourage me. And so many of you, elders and others alike, have indicated to me that you're interested in the welfare of Judy and me and interested in my being able to continue to serve God in whatever capacity is best to serve God, and I appreciate all of that. But folks, in everything that we do today, in the next few months, and in the work that is ahead, if God lets this earth continue to stand, must be approached from the standpoint that we want to please God. I wonder if we sometimes stop and ask, what does God want in this? We may be allowing ourselves many times to suggest that I want God in control as long as he's doing what I want him to do. But that's not really what is being said in this passage. We need to love the praise of God. We need to appreciate God for who he is and realize that our work, wherever it is and whatever we do, is to be done to please him. And I think that knowledge of that passage and application of it can help a lot of us as we make decisions in life on a daily basis, throughout life, to try to do that which pleases God. Sometimes it may not be easy to determine exactly what pleases God. Sometimes we may need to do more or spend more time in the study of his word and in prayer than we do. But I believe it is extremely important that we focus on the idea of trying to please God in everything that we do and believe in each other that that's what each one wants to do. And then there is Philippians 3, 13 and 14, another one of my favorite passages, and I believe it is especially appropriate today. In Philippians 3, 13 and 14, Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Does that mean that we're not to appreciate what's been done down through hundreds of years for the church and many years in the work of this congregation? I don't think so. Does that mean that we cannot learn from the past? I don't think so. In fact, I believe in this setting here, he is emphasizing that we need to appreciate what has been done in the past, and we need to learn from what has been done in the past. But he is saying, folks, and we need to understand this, that we cannot live in the past. The past has to yield to the present and especially to the future. There are souls to be saved, and we're not going to save them in the past. If we help anybody to be saved, it will be in the present or in the future. There are people to be served, especially in a benevolent way. We're not going to be able to serve any of those in the past. We've done a lot in the past. We've helped a lot of people in the past, but that's the past. Let's appreciate what has been done in the past, and let's learn from what has been done, learn from the positive things, and learn from our mistakes. But let's realize that the work of the Lord is in the future. The saving of souls and the serving of other people is in the future. We need to keep that in the back of our minds. And then in 1 Corinthians 1, we have said something that's about like what was read there in 1 Corinthians 3. In fact, I want us to look and think about both passages. Paul admonished everybody in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 1 to be of the same mind and the same judgment, be perfectly joined together. And then he said, there are those who say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? He goes ahead in verse 17 and says, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We need to be sure that everything that we do and say is done in a way that it does not make the cross of Christ of none effect. He talks about different speakers, different preachers, different men here, Paul, Apollos, Cephas. And I think you would agree with me that these were some of the most outstanding preachers that ever lived and ever taught at any time, not only in Bible times, but at any time. But he said, these men are not important when it comes to Christ. Christ is the one who is important. It is very important, especially at this time in our history, to realize the principle that is involved in this. In the passage that Ed read earlier from 1 Corinthians 3, talked about how we are laborers together with God in verse 9. Earlier he read where it said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Sometimes we may not be willing to leave God's work to him and do the work that we are supposed to do. I planted, Apollos watered. You know, as I look back in the history of this church, I have a great admiration for Brother N.B. Hardiman, who was one of the men that first spoke in this building and was very much involved in the work for several years. But Brother Hardiman's not here anymore. We appreciate his work, we can learn from it, and we can build on it. But he's not here anymore. One of the other preachers that's especially been meaningful to me is Brother B.B. James. So many of you have mentioned him, especially those of you that are older. He passed away just a few years ago. He was a man who was appreciated in this congregation and appreciated in this community, as were others. I'm just mentioning him particularly. I appreciated him a great deal. I appreciate him today. But Brother James is gone. His work is in the past. And that will not take care of the work that's in the future. My work with you in the pulpit, particularly here, will come to an end in the next few months. I believe we've had a good work together. I know I have tried to do my best to preach the gospel and to serve the Lord. And I appreciate the way you have expressed appreciation for that. But when my work comes to an end in this pulpit, that will be the past. If I have done the work that I should have done, the church can go on and be successful. If it doesn't, I may have failed. Because you see, one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase. When Brother Daniel Hope comes and begins preaching in July, you need to be ready to get behind him 100%, just like you have been behind me in my work down through the years. You need to be ready to encourage him as he preaches the truth and does the work of the Lord. Because that's the future. We cannot live in the past. We cannot grow by living in the past. We have to put it all in proper focus. And the main thing is that we need to hold up Christ above all of us at all times and realize that it is He and His cause for which we are working. And it is through Him and His cause that all of us will have the opportunity to be saved and go to heaven. I ask you from the bottom of my heart, to think about these passages today, I think they have something to say that we need to consider. And in everything, put Christ and His cause first. And all these things will be added to us as we need. If you're going to put Christ and His cause first, you need to be in Christ, and you need to be faithful in Christ. If you need to come to be baptized or to ask for prayer, won't you come as together we stand and sing.